Welcome back to the voice of the private sector. This is Brian Bushlack's Business Briefing, presented by Delta Airlines. You can't stop Seattle. And by MassMutual Financial Group, protecting business owners and executives across the Puget Sound region.
And moving past the bottom of the hour, welcome back to the voice of the private sector, airing across Seattle on Talk Radio 570 KVI and Portland, Vancouver, Alpha Media. Glad you could join us wherever you may be. It's time to talk commercial real estate. We touched on this in our last segment, particularly apartment brokerage, multifamily. And our expert is Joseph Chaplick at Joseph Bernard Investment Real Estate on the phone here this weekend. Joe, thanks for joining us. And before we talk about the hot button political issue that's really impacting landlords, let's talk about the numbers and wrap up how things ended up in 2016. I know it's been a red hot market.
Well, thanks for having me again, Brian. Always a pleasure to be on your show. 2016 was a good year again in the apartment business in Oregon and Portland. To give you a recap for your listeners, in 2016, there were about 257 buildings that transferred from owners. So 257 multifamily apartments exchanged hands in the year. Breaking that number down, which is getting inside the numbers, which we'll reach out to all the apartment owners. 5 to 50 units in one building would be 189 sales. So the bulk of the business right there in transaction volume. If the buildings have 51 to 100 units, which Portland lacks, there was only 25 sales. And then, if you had the larger buildings of over 100 units in the complex, there was about 43 of those sales for the year. Pretty close comparison to 2015, a little bit lower in total numbers, but again, another strong year on number of transactions.
Yeah, the Portland market is interesting in that you don't have as many of these mega complexes as you do in other markets like Phoenix, right?
Yeah, you don't. You know, Portland was built in the 70s with a lot of the buildings in that 70s era, some 80s, and then you have the vintage products, 50s built, 40s built, or even, 1900s built, which are some downtown buildings, nice small apartment complexes, mostly studios or ones, from that era. But one of the things that we as a business have decided to do is advance our model into the Phoenix market, because we ran into a lot of apartment owners that wanted to sell a smaller building somewhere in that 30 range, 40 unit range, and they really didn't have much to move into larger than 50 units, because there wasn't a lot of sales volume, because there's not a lot of buildings for sale. So we were able to create a pipeline and help clients in Oregon reinvest their equity into a larger complex. And if Portland didn't have that complex, we could help them through the Phoenix market or Tucson and find that asset for them, which there are quite more buildings down there in that 51 plus range.
Those of you just joining us across the Northwest, Joseph Chaplick, Joseph Bernard Investment Real Estate, talking multifamily and the apartment market from his office in Portland this weekend. If you'd like to reach out to him, direct line is 503-546-9390. And you touched on those numbers, and I wanted to park on that for a minute, because it's really interesting that you talk about the Portland market being primarily dominated by 5 to 50 unit complexes. That's what's changing hands. I mean, that was the bulk of the transactions. How much has the urban growth boundary been, the result of that? I mean, is that why we haven't seen these big complexes built in Portland? Because there certainly is a need for it.
Well, that's a good point. And yeah, there's no land to build, a large complex. A lot of these infills are smaller complexes. And you do have some bigger ones being built here and there throughout the city, but nothing in comparison to other larger markets. What's interesting, though, the 50 to 50 units, equated to about $375 million in sales volume. The 100-plus units, the 40-some buildings that sold 100-plus units, equated to $2.1 billion in sales revenue. So a lot larger product, a lot more money, price per building. If you look at, the urban growth boundary, again, the comment on that, it does put those larger buildings at a higher price because the demand is there. Because it just doesn't, there's not enough land to keep building the larger complexes in greater Portland. But here's something that's interesting as well for your listeners. When you break down the price per unit, there's three ways we measure the sales price and the value of these buildings. price per unit, square footage, and the cap rate. And, you know, this is an income approach to the valuation of the value is equal to the income over the rate. We can talk about that later if you want more specifications on all those details. But the price per unit for 5 to 50 units, the smaller complexes, were about $133,000 a unit average. 51 to 100 was about $125,000 price per unit. And over 100 was easily $215,000 average price per unit. The highest one, I think, was $445,000 price per unit for one of the larger complexes that recently sold. But when you talk about vacancies, vacancies are low. I believe we're right around that, again, hovering around that 5% vacancy rate. And when you look at the cap rate, which is the return for the investors, you know, what's the return on their money if they pay it all cash, is the cap rate. For all product type, it's around 5.25%, very low.
Wow.
Compressed down to 5.25%, and interest rates are keeping it low. They're climbing a little bit on interest rates, but the cap rates are staying low. And, you know, the market is healthy. It is strong.
Joseph Chaplick, Joseph Bernard Investment Real Estate, joining us. Joe and his team focus solely on multifamily, so the apartment market. Obviously, it's very different, certainly, than residential real estate. There's no doubt about that. But even, you know, other commercial real estate transactions, very different than these multifamily transactions. So you can check out their website, josephbernard.net, to learn more. And I want to ask you, you know, we don't get political on the show very often, but you know, when it impacts business, you can't avoid it. And the Portland City Council passing a relocation assistance emergency ordinance. And if I'm reading this right, Joe, it will basically force landlords who raise the rent more than 10% in a 12-month period to offer relocation assistance anywhere from $2,900 up to $4,500 per tenant, depending on the size of the apartment. I mean, this is ridiculous. I mean, obviously, the market is squeezed, and so now the government steps in and says, hey, if you raise the rent, you're going to pay the price.
Well, it is. There's a lawsuit filed against it, and I won't comment too deeply into this, but I do know enough about it to kind of give an opinion. And I really, you know, I blame the city of Portland for this. You know, the city council, whether this is just a political tactic to be short-lived and make whatever political gains they're trying to accomplish, it's unconstitutional. And when you look deeper at it, if they were really trying to help the tenants, they would have brought in small business owners of the apartment business to talk about the pros and cons of what it's like running an apartment business with all the tenants and all the issues that go with it to try to balance this out. They never did that. This was very, you know, quickly moved through the city council, and then of course unanimous, so everybody voted for it. And again, you know, if you raise rents more than 10%, you got to pay a relocation assistance program of almost five times what the rent is just to move somebody out of an apartment building. And you know, if you have a 40 unit building, you know, this could bankrupt you. And so it's not really helping small businesses, which some council members ran on helping small businesses here in town. But I'll tell you another thing: the city of Portland's to blame because they continuously raise property taxes. They continuously raise water and sewer. It's the highest in the state in Multnomah County. It's twice as much as in our Arizona market. And apartment owners just can't make the numbers work with these growing expenses. So what do they have to do? They have to raise rents. And with the demand on you know, the buildings with the high, you know, occupancy rates and the high demand with less product out there, it's a business. They're going to raise rents to make the number so they don't lose money on a business. And so if they could control some of these other expenses, you wouldn't have these tenants suffering with high rents. And so, again, the city of Portland is to blame for all this.
Joseph Chaplick, Joseph Bernard Real Estate. And again, I want to give out that website. It's josephbernard.net. And I, you know, have known Joe for a number of years. I know you've heard him here on the show over the past decade. And these apartment transactions are tricky. I know that from an investing standpoint, it's really the first step. A lot of folks who are in residential real estate will step out into multifamily, two-unit, four-unit, eight-unit, and try to move up from there. And you really need to know what you're doing, obviously, particularly in Multnomah County and the city of Portland. Joseph Chaplick, thanks for joining us. We'll talk to you again soon, Joe.
Thank you, Brian.
Okay, up next, we'll close out this edition on the voice of the private sector across Seattle and Portland.